Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The DNVR Rockies podcast is brought to you by our friends at Solace Meds. You gotta check them out, folks. They're absolutely fantastic in the dispensary world. They got anything and everything you could think of. Some things you maybe haven't even thought of yet. They got fantastic deals on everything from herb and concentrates. They got some edibles for you. They got some drinkables for you. Anything and everything under the sun. And you can get 20% off just for using promo code DNVR20, whether you're ordering online at solacemeds.com, that's SOLACEmeds.com, or going into one of their fantastically convenient locations, including one just down the street from the DNVR bar. They've also got one in Fort Collins, one in Wheat Ridge, and one off of Broadway. Highly recommend you go there. If you're in Wheat Ridge, you can also get a free Solace bar or King Cone just for using that promo code DNVR20. Again, the folks at Solace Meds, they treat you right. They've got some of the best herb anywhere in the world. You've got to check them out today. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And joining us, as has become our weekly custom, is the voice of the Colorado Rockies on AT&T Sportsnet and the host of the Drew Goodman podcast. It's Drew Goodman.
Is this where you go to the line, you tip your cap like an all-star jingle?
Yeah. Right.
You step. How would you do that? Just like that, or
yeah,
take it off and
yeah, you if you're at home. If it's home, you gotta game.
Be yeah, big star to take it off, or at home, like you said. Home.
You have to. Yeah, you need to do the official doffing of the cap. You have to doff the cap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Needs to be removed and full extension on the doff.
Yeah. I think, you know, you can be Joe Cool and just do that.
You also have to prepare your good-natured laugh for when you're in opposing divisional territory, for when you're Justin Turner. His look, we all, I know everyone listening to this hates Justin Turner's guts with a fiery passion of a thousand suns because he does so well against the Rockies. And
I don't hate his guts.
No, I wasn't listening. The people here, but wasn't that he really did eat that up well, I thought.
I'm a big fan of Justin Turner. I've said this many times on the air. When the game is on the line and, you know, the Rockies are playing the Dodgers, the last guy I want to see is Justin Turner, and they have a lot of talent. But, I mean, that guy's going to give you a great at bat, and more often than not, it seems like he's going to come through. But you're right. You have to be prepared to have the self-deprecating laugh when you are, like, next year, hopefully there's a slew of Rockies in L.A. for the All-Star game. They won't be as vehemently booed as the Giant players, but right. You do have to be able to chuckle.
The Padres players got away with it a little bit. They didn't get too many boos. Like Jake Cronenworth, I think, was the first one during the All-Star game. And everyone's like, oh, he's on the Padres. What was his name? I don't.
Right.
And so he got nothing. He almost got nothing.
Yeah.
Which, again, you'd rather be booed than have nothing. You want the fans to feel something towards you, right?
Boys, one of the greatest signs of respect, as we know in sports, is to get booed in enemy territory. And I could think of a Hall of Famer that got such a kick out of it and loved the interactions with the fans and the rivalry on the field, talking about one Larry Chipper Jones, that when he had his first son, I believe it was his first son, he named him Shea, as you guys know, after Shea Stadium.
405. So Drew and I have this thing where inevitably we'll come up with a pro wrestling reference and we'll reference the timestamp. 4 minutes, 5 seconds until the first Mets reference for you today, Goody.
Break the record?
It's new record. I was locked and loaded with a Tim Tuffle reference today, nice. But you beat me to it. You beat me to it. Wow. And Larry Wayne Jones. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who said it. Maybe it was Reggie Jackson. Maybe it was a pro wrestler. Like, whether you love me or hate me, you know, you feel something towards me, right? They're on the same end of the spectrum.
I think who knows who actually originally said it or whatever, but Reggie, there was a very similar quote attributed to Reggie. So I think you're right on, Patrick, that, whether you love me or hate me, you got to pay attention to me or something like that.
Yeah.
I've asked people, like, what is the opposite of love? Like, and what is the opposite of hate? Like, because they really are, like, on the same end of the spectrum. And, like, the exact opposite is indifference. Yeah. You're not paying attention to that thing. So, yeah, we know love and hate. Ooh, they make you feel different ways, but they're strong, man. It makes you feel that passion.
The original pro wrestling heel of all day was Gorgeous George, who gave the advice to Muhammad Ali. A lot of people will pay a lot of money to shut you up. See someone shut you up. We're in the entertainment business, kid.
Yeah, he got it. He got it. I was listening to Patrick dispense that advice a moment ago, Drew, and I'm thinking he can hang a shingle outside his crib, maybe in a little bit of a couch and maybe some nice incense and do a little therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. Break it down that's easy for us. Yeah.
Or perhaps based on that reaction and the quiet nod, maybe he's already doing that.
Boom. Right. This whole thing is an experiment on the two of us. This is his.
Right.
My wife, she has a master's degree in psychology. So it's really just a trickle down effect.
I see.
She tinkers with my brain and I go, sense. Okay, that's how I'm supposed to think. Got it.
Well, listen,
and then I dispense it to all y'all.
Knowing you, that explains a lot of things. You needed to marry somebody with an advanced degree in psychology, right?
Oh, for sure. I was a wreck before she walked across that stage and graduated. But once she got that paperwork, I go, all right, now I'll start listening and taking you seriously. And it's been great ever since.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Well, we know as of this day, Michael Givens no longer a Colorado Rocky. Rockies get back a couple of pitching prospects there. As we speak now, Trevor Story, John Gray, still Colorado Rockies. Goody, obviously anyone who watched the game last night heard you guys talk a bit about Givens, but just give us your take so far on the Rock and really just the trade deadline so far, your takes on what you've seen out there, what the market's been like and what's happening.
Well, yeah, there's been some intriguing moves when it comes to the Rockies. If you said to me, of the guys that are potentially could be moved by the Rockies, who would be the most likely? I would have told you, and I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking this, or in this case, Thursday morning quarterbacking it. I would have said, and I think I did on with you guys and maybe on my own podcast, Michael Givens, because it just, it doesn't make sense to keep the Rockies bullpen hasn't been good. He's a veteran guy. He actually has been good. It's not some long-standing attachment to the Rockies, and you could get something back for him. So I figured he would get moved. They got, Case Williams back, who they drafted and they know well. He's a kid. He's 19 years of age, so it's going to be a while before we know, what he is, what he becomes. I'm intrigued by Noah Davis. Spilly naturally was really excited. He's a gaucho. And he's got good numbers this year, 77 strikeouts in 66 innings. The walk rate, a little higher than you'd like, naturally. But the league, he's in the Florida State League. The walk rate, they're experimenting. You guys know better than I do. I think they have a robo-ump. So there's been some the walk rate is higher in that league right now. But he's got some swing and miss stuff, clearly, at that level. And I think that's intriguing. You get another arm. And so we'll see where that takes him. In terms of the other guys, I know we're going to get into this more deeply. It's been it's been busy so far, and I think it could be crazy busy over the next 24 hours throughout baseball.
Yeah, anyone that is on an expiring contract, like most seasons, you know, there's teams knocking on doors, and even players that are going to be free agents after next year. You know, the contenders are going all in. You see the package of players the Yankees gave up yesterday for Joey Gallo. Maybe not the quality of a top five prospect of theirs or, you know, top 100, but a lot of really good players just outside of that. And for the Rockies, you know, outside of Story and Gray, there's still CJ Cron if his groin injury is of concern, but we've seen teams trade for players who might be banged up a little bit. We know Carlos Estevez only has another year left. Daniel Bard, Chris Owings, I know he just had the thumb surgery, so he's probably not going to be a candidate. But, you know, I think seeing Bill Schmidt make that move as the interim GM yesterday, you know, that was good. That was a big, I think, shot of confidence in his arm and the Rockies' arm. Like, yeah, they can pull the trigger and get a deal done. And as you said, an 11th round pick from 2018 and Noah Davis, and then a 4th round pick, not bad for a reliever that was, you know, going to sit in your bullpen for 2 months. You know, to bring those guys back is really promising and could be a sign of things to come for bolstering the future of the franchise.
Yeah, I don't know if I would expect them to make another move. I think there's probably another move in there. I don't know if they will make a move in regard to Story and in regard to Gray. I think they really are going to have to be blown away to move either one of those guys. I do think they're going to make a concerted effort to re-sign John Gray. I think, you know, clearly if they keep Trevor, they have to offer him, qualifying offer in the offseason so they get the draft pick if he goes away. This is an open-ended statement that I'm about to make. How much has Trevor hurt himself because he has had a subpar year by his standards? And he also hurt his elbow. And you've heard, even though he's been playing, and he's always kind of guided the ball across. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a strong arm. He does. When he needs to let one rip, he does. But I think there's some questions out there. And when you're talking about a two-month rental, do you just say, well, whatever he's done this year, we're going to wipe out because he's probably been dealing with the emotions of the uncertainty of being in this position, and we'll get the best 2 months out of him? Or some people say, well, listen, he's probably 10 home runs shy of where we'd expect him to be ordinarily. The RBIs, all those other things, and we're going to push the pause button. I have no idea. But you'd be a fool not to think that it is certainly part of the conversation internally with the teams that have interest.
Yeah, Efren asked a question about Trevor Story and home road splits. And I think, guys like DJ LeMahieu, and we're even seeing with Arenado kind of putting those questions aside. Like if you can play ball, you can play ball. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what the splits are like out of Coors Field. We've discussed that many, many, many times. So I think it's true, that Story is kind of having, somewhat of a down year, but if you need that piece, right, whether it's at shortstop or at second base, or maybe even third base, I think Trevor would be open to saying, hey, look, if a team is interested in my services, he can go elsewhere. Yeah. That one I don't get. I don't think you do that midseason. I don't see any shortstop going to center field like that. That's funny. Somewhat unheard of, but teams, hey, if Trevor Story is a better option, and let's face it, there's not very many teams that have better options at second, short, and third base. In fact, I don't think any team has better options than Trevor Story at all three positions. I think a team could be willing to make a chance. You're right. We don't know what's going to happen, but bottom line, if someone says, look, he moves the needle and we don't really care what his stats have been, then you know, maybe we see something happen. But we know his talent.
You know, with the Yankees, for one, and his name has been associated with them, and who knows what kind of, you know, if there's validity to that or not. But the Yankees are starting to bump up to the luxury tax, something they do not want to eclipse. The Dodgers are above that. You know, the Padres are pretty close to it. If the Yankees straight up were to take the remaining salary back, it's probably in the neighborhood of $6 or $7 million left on Trevor's deal this year. It would put him over the luxury tax threshold, I believe. And so if that were the case, the Rockies, I'm sure, would be asked if, you know, they could come to some sort of agreement to take some money to, you know, pay for some of that contract. Now, if you do that, I know people go, oh my God, here they go again. They
throwing money. Yeah.
You know, the Cardinals are going to send them $51 million. What are they doing? You're going to get a better player or package back because you are helping out the Yankees. That's the thought there. Yeah. You know, just like the thing with Nolan, the Cardinals basically said, we value him at $150 million. So the Rockies were trying to get that, you know, $200 million off their books. They couldn't, but they were able to get $150 million off.
Right. Yeah, that almost sweetens the deal for the Rockies in a sense, where typically, yeah, you trade a guy, now you pay him. That actually almost works out in the Rockies' advantage, you know, because their payroll, you know, isn't terribly high. Obviously, they're not close to that soft cap and the luxury tax threshold. Right. That if they pay his contract down a little bit, they're going to get a better prospect back from the Yankees. Yeah. So, it's not like they're buying a prospect. It's just an industry standard thing that ends up happening. It's what happened with Adam Frazier going to the Padres, and we saw that they got a nice little haul for a first time all-star. So it's interesting. We'd all, of course, would love to be on a fly on the wall to really know what kind of things are going on. I know in your book, Goody, If These Walls Could Talk, you talked about some of those trades that could have been, would have been, should have been for Larry Walker that we didn't know at the time. Now we hear about him. It's always so intriguing and interesting, but at the end of the day, we'll never really know what the best possible outcome is or what the best package and the best deal is out there. It's just, it's a crapshoot.
It is. And you don't, and you know, Patrick, to your point, you don't know to down the road. And I know you guys watch all the ball games, and you may have caught Spilly and I talking about this last night. Spilly went back and he looked at the 05, I think it was MLB.com, or I think it was MLB.com. Doesn't matter. One of the rankings of the top 30, I think it was top 35 at the time, prospects in the Rockies organization in 05. For instance, Spilly was 31. Well, Spilly had a really nice big league career.
Yeah.
And he was an integral part of, you know, three good Rockies teams, the 07 team, the 09 team, the 2010 team that then stumbled down the stretch. But really key component, right? He was the 31st. He wasn't even the top 30. Yeah. Brad Hopp was, I want to say, 16. Yeah. There was a lot of names that were not, oh, this has got, you know, this is the number one prospect, this is the number two prospect, this is the number three prospect. So you don't know. Just like a draft, when we look back on this year's draft, just like any draft, you're going to go, oh, man, 22 teams passed on Drew Kreisman, and this guy's a perennial all-star now. And it's the easiest analogy is when – and most recent, not most recent, because there's been a lot of good players that weren't drafted number one, clearly. But, you know, Mike Trout, what is it, 24 teams, including the Rockies, passed on Mike Trout. Think those 24 other teams would like to have a do-over on that one?
Even the Angels passed on Mike Trout. They picked Randall Grichuk first. Yeah. And then they said, okay, now we'll take you, Mike Trout. You're not of the caliber of Randall Grichuk, but
And to that point, I'm glad you brought that up. We got to do an ad read real quick, but I want to finish the point because Goody also mentioned, you know, the compensatory pick earlier. And this is something I was really curious about. There's a lot of different references on this. And we know, caveat aside, it's possible in the next CBA that they won't be able to – it won't exist this way. But if they do get the compensatory pick for slapping the qualifying offer on Trevor Story, FanGraphs has a really great guide for you for the value of draft picks. Now, of course, it's theoretical because, as Goody was just pointing out, some of these guys, you know, I went and looked at two things here, the value of the picks and then who have the Rockies kind of gotten in this area over the last several years. But just for the theoretical value, the 31st, they have the 31st overall pick valued at $9.8 million, down to the 40th at 7.6. If you know, and it can depend on how many competitive bounds. But really, you go down to the 49th pick, you're still at $6.1 million, right, in theoretical value. So it's kind of always been my position that, you know, the Rockies need to be able to get a package that's worth more than that, right? That should be your goal.
Drew, you're absolutely right. And that's how front offices look at it. It is somewhat of a math equation, not just, oh, we like this package of prospects. And if you do get, you know, you have to assign a dollar value to, they've done it with Case Williams. They've done it with Noah Davis in that little trade that they made. You have to do that. And that's why it's not just a slam dunk for people to say, oh, you're going to get more value by trading Trevor Story. I don't know. The three of us don't know. We're not privy to what is offered on the other side, what the conversations are, but that compensatory pick has a value that you attach to it, and then you keep your fingers crossed that whomever you select there becomes impactful. And you know, this will be brought out a lot. I know you guys have talked about it. I've heard you talk about it. Trevor Story was a compensatory pick.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean, you know, the next guy's Trevor Story. We understand that. Right. But it just shows you. You know, Ryan McMahon's a nice player. Ryan McMahon, second round pick. Charlie right. Blackman's had a hell of a career. Charlie Blackman was a second round pick.
Nolan Arenado,
second round pick.
Even these last couple of years, guys like Chris McMahon and Jaden Hill that they've managed to grab with that second pick. I actually think I could make a pretty strong argument the Rockies have done better in the last 10 years with their second pick in the draft than they have with their first, with a couple of unfortunate, you know, flameouts for guys like Riley Pint and whatnot. But those second picks, they've been pretty good at. So, it'll be interesting. Now, I'll say on the
right, flip side. There's the Riley Pint one, unfortunately, and the Greg Reynolds one, unfortunately.
Those are big offers with your number one pick, right? That's tough. But I will say I do, as much as people who listen to this show regularly might not think I'm about to say this, I am pretty close to Patrick of mind on this. I do think that, you know, especially hearing, you know, teams getting desperate, doing whatever, I tend to think that someone's going to offer them something. And I think if so, it would be smart, prudent, and everyone should hopefully understand that this was the right time to move on from Trevor Story. And hopefully we get to watch him play in October and make a difference for some team down the stretch and finish out what's been a rough year for him in a very positive way. I think that can be a win for everybody involved. So
a storybook ending.
Hey, there
we weren't necessarily hoping. We thought it was going to be a different ending, but nevertheless, hey, man, that's why we play the games. You never know. Right. Never know what's going to happen.
All right, let's pay some bills. Let's thank our friends over at Breckenridge Brewery. You know I love the brews. You know I've come round on them seltzies. I wasn't sure I was ever going to be a seltzy guy. You know, I'm drinking those hot peak IPAs Katie recently brought home. Because Breck Brew has their 15-can sampler of all kinds of different stuff. But they also have one of just their different IPAs, like a single IPA, hot peak IPA, a juicy, the juice drop. They got all kinds. I'm just like drinking all the IPAs. And you would think, this guy's not going to sit down and throw back a peach seltzer, but you make them like good company makes them. You make them like Brew makes them. I will throw back a bunch of them peach seltzers. They're fantastic. Get your 15-can sampler at a liquor store down at King Supers. You can get a big Breck Brew on draft if you're a member of the DNVR family. Do subscribe today at thednvr.com. Get access to all the written content. You get discounts constantly on hats and shirts and all kinds of other stuff that we got down there at the merch store. You get to come and hang out with us in the Discord channel, talking Rockies baseball and all things baseball and Olympics and all the other sports, movies, TV, what you eating, where you hiking, where you snowboarding, all that stuff, having a whole lot of fun in the Discord channel. Come be a member of the family, subscribe to all of that stuff today. And of course, you know, one of the great things about becoming a member is that we're always hooking you up with our fantastic sponsors, including one of our favorites, our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Of course, we love them because they help us actually win money. One of the usually with these sponsors, you know, you spend money and then you get their product and it's very good, but you know, you're out the money. Well, with this one, you actually end up with more money sometimes. I mean, to be honest, am I plus on the year? Look, these are not the important questions to ask. What's important is just to get out there, have some fun, lay a little bit of change on whatever you like, overs and unders on strikeouts and runs scored and stuff like that. Though I did that whole rant about always taking the under on runs scored in Rockies games, and then they go out there and put a massive crooked
12 numbers. Spot goody. Would 12. You ever, and again, there's probably, I think I know the answer, but there's probably only a few starting pitchers that if you're making a friendly wager with someone, you would bet that the starting pitcher would not only just do well, but would earn the win, right? Like how often, it's very infrequent that a starting pitcher earns the win. Would you say it would take a very special type of starting pitcher to make such a friendly wager where the starter would actually get the win?
You have to be good friends with the manager who allows you to hang around long enough to have the possibility of getting a win. That is really becoming an antiquated stat to evaluate how good a starting pitcher is.
Well, our guy Drew here nailed it. That's what I'm saying. You need a guy that's like, look, there's a chance this guy won't come out of the game because he needs to get the 27th out. Well, our guy Drew, I gotta big him up. He had Gomber the other night, not just to win or to have so many strikeouts. No, he said he's going to earn the W. And so I think that's kind of going out on a limb.
These days, and he nailed it. It is. It helps when you're up 3 to nothing, though.
they spot. I was feeling good about it early on, no question of edging it, but I did. It's like you need a lot of things to line up to get that right. He could pitch a fantastic game and get the notice.
I loved his response. I mentioned this on the air last night. Yes. He was pissed off. He was pissed. He gave you don't expect him to be happy. He gives up a homer, but you know, some guys are I gave up a homer, but it's 12-2. He was pissed. He was pissed he gave up that home run to Ohtani because he didn't like. I don't think he liked the pitch selection, and he certainly didn't like where he left the pitch execution.
Yeah.
But it's another reason to really admire Austin Gomber. We all get to know him. He's got that, maybe not in the same demonstrative way, but he's got that same fire that Herman has, Kyle Freeland. I was going to say he was the most demonstrative of the rotation guys. They're great competitors, man.
I loved it. We talked about it on the show, but when it happened, I agree with you. And I think he thought he had him too. I think he thought he had beat him on the previous pitch. If you recall, I'm sure you did. You called it, but it was a foul tip for strike three that just he barely got a piece of and just wasn't quite held on to, which isn't on the catcher behind the plate. But I think that was the other thing going through his mind was, I had him. But you feel like you should have struck out the best player in baseball, and then you make a mistake and he gets you and you go, that was great. Right. That's the competitive spirit. So if you want to get out there and bet on Austin Gomber or anyone else in the Colorado Rock or whichever way you take it, I keep taking the opposing pitchers plus on strikeouts, by the way, and that one's paying off for me too. So all kinds of ways to have fun with it. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. I don't know why the word if is in the sentence, but I'm contractually obligated to read it. That's code DNVR to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. So let's do get into that a little bit. Goody, interesting series for the Rockies in LA. It was right there for the team to win their second road series of the year. Didn't quite do it, but we've been talking all year. You guys have been talking about Bud Black, what was talking about yesterday. He was asked before the game by our good friend Owen Perkins of the Associated Press. He was asked about whether or not the bullpen was the most frustrating part of the team. But he said very candidly, actually, no, it's been our offense. Well, the last couple of days, the offense has shown up, looked pretty good. What have you seen and what have you been seeing really out of the road Rockies, who for the last couple of weeks have looked far more solid than they did for the first couple of months.
Well, a couple notes on that, Drew. First of all, the Rockies in the first game of a road trip, now I'm taking you back from Anaheim to Chavez Ravine, they scored 9 runs, yeah. 10 innings, 6 runs in 9 innings, and then the 3-run 10th highlighted by Charlie Blackman's home run at Dodger Stadium to put it completely out of reach. The Rockies, as we know, struggle on the road to score, and they struggle in first games after they leave altitude.
Yeah.
They got 9, so that was impressive. We know the previous 3 games or trip, they went 3-3 on before the All-Star break, took 2 of 3 at Petco before the All-Star game. So 9 was a good sign at Dodger Stadium, and then they lost 2 close baseball games, didn't score a lot there. They go to Anaheim. They put up the 12 spot, which was great to see. Now it's 9 home runs on the road in the 6 games they've played. Now, the record's not great. It's 2-4, but they are starting to score some runs and hit the ball over the wall on the road, which clearly is good to see. I don't know if I would favor one or the other from where I sit. You know, if you ask me the same question you asked Buddy, I would say I would have equal concerns about where the offense is and where it ultimately needs to be for the Rockies to be a contending team. And the same thing about the bullpen. I mean, the bullpen needs to be a boatload better than it's been the last couple of years to give the Rockies a chance to finish games, win some of these 1-run games, 2-run games that have gotten away. I mean, the single, I suppose, most salient point you could make that supports the fact that we know the bullpen, you know, needs to be much better is that the rotation has been, by every measurement, outstanding, yeah, going on 2 months, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and not just outstanding by Rocky standards or, you know, pretty good, better than what they normally do. Top of the big leagues in so many different measurements, so which would suggest, oh, man, you're getting great starting pitching and some lengthy starting pitching. You must be, you know, if you've played 60 games in that vein, you must be, you know, 10 games over 500 over those 60 or 12 games, right? But they're not, which means there's other areas, other issues. Offense, certainly one. Don't dispute what Buddy said there. Agree 1,000%. But the bullpen as well.
I think last night,
they battled their ass off. They were down 7-3. They get the 7-7, big hit from Brendan Rodgers. You know, you got a little bit of momentum back on your side. And unfortunately, Carlos Estevez gives up a run.
Yeah. And that was a bullpen day, too. Like that was the bullpen throwing all those innings. So, I mean, it kind of is all illuminated right there. And I think to what Buddy, you know, said about the offense maybe being the most frustrating part is with the bullpen. Now, I actually thought the bullpen was going to be surprisingly good. I thought there were enough pieces in there that, you know, if they all line up well, you know, would have been great. And I think, you know, I think there's still a lot left in Yency Almonte and Robert Stevenson when he comes off the IL. You know, there are some guys there that can deliver. But I think to Buddy's point, maybe one of the reasons why the bullpen hasn't been quite as frustrating is they've got so many young arms, right? They've had at various points maybe 6 different relief pitchers in the bullpen at various times, really always at least 2 to 3 relief pitchers in the bullpen. And so I think, you know, there's certain expectations that you might not necessarily have for those young guys that are rookies. A lot of them, you know, a couple of them even making their major league debut this year. I guess it kind of tamps down the frustration in a sense, or expectations, because you go, yeah, these are young guys. They're figuring it out. It's frustrating, but it's to be expected a little bit. Whereas with the offense, you know, those names and you feel like there should be more getting out of those bats.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be honest in how you appraise it, I know you're being honest. I'm looking back to spring training. You would hope that that in concert with Bard and Givens, who are veteran guys, you were going to have another veteran guy who's been outstanding in Scott Oberg. We know Scott's story. And it's sad from a baseball standpoint. We understand that. But now you're talking about, you know, another legitimate plus side guy. And so you're going to like the bullpen a little bit more. But on paper, they still didn't have a left-hander or a couple of left-handers. Now, I like the progress Lucas Gilbreth has made. Speaking of, last night aside, different kind of role for him. But he's been throwing the ball well. I think Ben Bowden's throwing the ball better. Last couple of times we've seen him, he had two good innings last night. But, when they broke camp, you had two really young guys, really inexperienced guys on the left side. So that, that was an area that certainly needed upgrading. It goes back to that line that's so familiar in baseball. You can never have enough pitching. You can never have enough depth. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers thought they had a ton of depth, and now they're scrambling trying to find starting pitching.
Yeah, they got Jimmy Sherfy.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka Kreisman. There's your wrestling reference.
There it is. There we
Jimmy
go.
Jimmy Superfly Sherfy. I like it. That could work.
Off the top of the cage for us? No?
Mm-hmm. I think it, but
he's got bigger arms than you.
Just barely, though. I mean, you'd have to – you really got to hold up the tape measure to just slightly. One guy I did want to ask you about. So, again, going back to those, and Patrick and I, and I know you've been big about this on the Drew Goodman podcast, talking about, who's a part of that solution, that next team that's going to be competitive for the squad. And I'll tell you who I'm enjoying every single time he comes to the plate these days, Goody, and that's Brendan Rodgers. I've been high on him for a long time because I watched him very closely in the minor leagues, and I talked to scouts who we all know raved about this guy, and you see the things. But then, there's that group of people that just they watch Major League Baseball. They see you show up at the show, and all right, kid, let's see it. And we just didn't from Rodgers, and we know injuries and all the things. So, it just feels like for so long that we. Hope he does okay here. I hope this doesn't go super awful. And now you're going, man, I can't wait to see what he does now.
Well, he's been one of the two best hitters on the road for the Rockies, Blackman being the other. The two balls he hit out at the Big A were big boy home runs, dead center field, no doubters. I mean, if you hit it over the center field wall, you can tip your cap, right? Those were no doubters to center field. He's a different guy from a confidence standpoint. I've spent a little bit of time with him. He came on the podcast about a month ago, and he admitted, and I appreciate this, when you really hear an athlete be candid, especially with the insecurity of being a young player, the insecurity of being a guy that has that comes along with a guy that a lot of expectations had been attached to you and you hadn't done much yet. So for him to come out and say when he finally hit that first home run that it was such a weight off of his shoulders, but it allowed him – it freed him up to kind of play to his talent level. And we don't know where ultimately he's going to reside as a big leaguer, but I think he's a middle-of-the-order guy. I mean, I think he's going to be a 25 home run guy, good at bat guy, strong average guy that doesn't – strikes out below league minimum while being able to do damage, doubles, homers. I'm getting really excited about Brendan Rodgers. The Rockies have played 100, and I'm looking at my book. It's 102 games. Tonight's game number 103. One of the better stories as you try to provide answers, as you presented, Drew, for the group that's going to be part of the solution. There's no question, Drew. There's no question, not Drew Kreisman, because we've got problems. If that's the answer,
I'll talk about stuff. Let's.
but Brendan Rodgers has been a really nice story this year, and I think it just continues to grow.
Yeah, he's really stepped up, this season, especially after those first couple of weeks of just kind of feeling comfortable. And now he is comfortable. He's. As you said, him and Charlie have been great on the road. He's actually hitting a little bit better on the road. If you look at his splits, he's been better away from Coors Field than at Coors Field. And he's been still really good. He's got 5 homers on the road versus 2 at home. So that's a good problem to have. I think if you're a ball player, I wouldn't even necessarily say that's a problem because, for all intents and purposes, he's still a rookie. right? Like he hasn't had one full complete season and still hasn't played 100 games in the majors yet. So it's really good to see his growth coming along, as he is going to be one of those guys that's going to steer this franchise going forward, with, you know, so many of them, you know, becoming free agents in the next couple years. And we'll see what happens this offseason with extensions. But Brendan Rodgers is going to be that guy going forward. And it's good that, you know, the statistics and his performance and his, just, again, as you said, overall confidence is starting to reflect that place in the franchise future.
You know, I give a lot of credit to, fellas, and you guys know this because you're around the club, I give a lot of credit to Ryan McMahon in how he is handled. Not that Ryan's, you know, Charlie Blackman, mid-30s, grizzled vet. I mean, he's still a young, youngish player, clearly, as well. But he's really gone out of his way to make Brendan Rodgers feel welcome, to talk up Brendan Rodgers, to promote Brendan Rodgers. Because whether it is in the next 24 hours or, you know, 6 months from now when the Rockies, or whatever it is, 8 months from now, gather again at spring training, we know that there's a significant likelihood that Trevor Story is not a Rocky. And that means, yeah, again, barring some sort of, you know, additional move in the offseason, or maybe it's at the trade deadline, we don't know, Brendan Rodgers may be asked to play his natural position. And when he looks around, he's going to go, okay, yeah, there's Blackman's the leader of this team. He's the mid-30s guy who has a great resume. After that, you know, it's McMahon, you know, and now it's my turn to step up with the Tapias, you know, of the world, and that really good starting rotation. Hopefully the Rockies are able to keep that intact and build around that. But I think you're going to see a guy that can take a couple more steps from a confidence standpoint, based on not only performance, but based on going, you know what? Yeah, this is I'm not saying solely my team, but yeah, I'm now one of the guys. And I don't think he ever felt that, even though he was a top flight prospect. When he came up and it was Nolan at third and Trevor at short, and, you know, I think DJ was still here, right? Initially. I mean, you know, that's probably intimidating, even for a guy that was a big time prospect. And they want to see it. You know that. They want to see it. Yeah. Okay, I've heard a lot about this guy. This guy was drafted, what was he, third in the draft? I want to see it. Just prove it to me. You know, so there's more. There's definitely more there. So it'll be curious to watch.
I love what you said there about McMahon and what he's been able to do for Rodgers, because those are two guys, similar age, 125, one and 26 years old, about to turn 27 in half a year from now. But ultimately, those guys never really cross paths. It's not like, yeah, no, we were teammates and I've seen him down in Asheville, or I saw what he was, you know, able to do at Lancaster. They weren't teammates, you know, but yet he was still able to identify, obviously, Rodgers' importance to the organization, you know, look after him, you know, be that big brother figure. And even just a couple of years ago, it seemed like last year, and maybe even towards the end of 2019, once Cargo had moved on, it was, all right, who's going to be that guy in the clubhouse? Back in those days when we just saunter down out of the press box and just see what everyone's doing, popping out of the showers and getting ready to go on their road trip. And as we talk, exchange stories, wrap up the game, that Ryan McMahon had this thing. He had this quality about him to kind of really, you know, summarize a game or summarize those key moments and not, you know, shy away from that spotlight, even as a young guy with all of those veterans that you said, including like a DJ LeMahieu. And so that's another growth I want to see. Is Rodgers on the field? He's doing it now and he's going to continue going forward. But seeing McMahon off the field and that leadership quality now that he has, especially with, you know, good odds that Story may be moving on, this may become McMahon, Rodgers, Tapia's team, in addition to, of course, the big brother and Charlie Blackman.
Yeah, he has, talking about McMahon, he has some magnetism to him. He has personality. He has a good guy feel, which is legit to him. You like being around him. He's upbeat. He's got a smile on his face.
He's the guy you want your daughter to date, all that stuff.
Right? Yeah, I mean, he's a very likable guy. And you can see that even on television when we cut to the dugout. I mean, he's having conversations with numerous people, and he's always engaged. He's that way around the batting cage, and he wants to be great. I know he hasn't hit a lot of home runs lately. It's been a while, but he's getting his hits. He actually is hitting, you know, for a pretty darn good average, and his on base percentage in July has been really good. There's a lot there, and he's a versatile defender, as we all know.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're seeing a transition. It's not the first time. We've seen this before with the Rockies, but there's a transition that's taking place, especially with the potential, whether it's immediate or in a few months, that, you know, Trevor's not part of the mix.
You reminded me of something there that I want to talk about. Speaking of the defense, there's something I wanted to share with you. But got to remember, of course, to get in touch with our friends. Well, they got defense over at Colorado XO's Infinity Park playing rugby. They got defense out there. It's so much fun going out to Infinity Park, watching the rugby. They got some Rugby Town Sevens tournament coming up the end of August. It's a whole lot of fun. You can also check the calendar there at Infinity Park at glendale.com/events, because they're showing movies and doing all kinds of fun stuff out there. I have a whole lot of fun chatting with our rugby guys. I got to go on their podcast and do a draft of Rockies players who might have made great rugbyers over the years. That was a whole lot of fun. I think we're going to do another one of those or similar to that. So make sure you're subscribed to the DNVR Rugby Podcast. You're following Colton Strickler on Twitter, and you're getting all of those updates. It'll put a big old smile on your face. And of course, that smile and the smiles of a lot of those rugby guys, I promise you, brought to you by our friends over at Green Mountain Dental Group. They need to get them taken care of. You need to get them taken care of. And the best place to do it is someplace that's going to make you feel like family, going to make you comfortable. And also, knows about sports, knows about DNVR. They can take care of you. They can make you feel good. They'll also hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule your cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Just 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver in Lakewood. Go over to Green Mountain Dental Group. They're absolutely fantastic. All right, Goody. So you mentioned that, and I was going through these defensive numbers the other day. And, you know, you were talking about it, but not only is McMahon a versatile defender, by some measures, he's been the best defender in baseball. But what kind of blows my mind is the production that the Rockies have gotten specifically at third base, where they are, according to FanGraphs, they have 17 defensive runs saved at third base between Ryan McMahon and Joshua Fuentes, and the... I think it's the Pirates are in second place with 10. Like, that's just their third base defense has been extraordinary. DRS also really positive on Elias Diaz behind the plate. Raimel Tapia has taken a huge leap forward. He's now second, or he's been tied for second and third, kind of going back and forth between that and DRS in left field. So I just wanted to get your take on that. The defense the Rockies are playing, how it's standing out to you, and what have been sort of the most notable things about the caliber of their defensive play this year?
Well, I've always said this, as great a defender as Nolan is, and he's the best third baseman defensively I've ever seen.
Yeah.
From an athletic standpoint, McMahon's a better athlete than Nolan. And that's not to knock Nolan. And I would say this if Nolan was still playing third for the Rockies. I probably said this in years past. Athletically, Ryan McMahon, he's not a burner, but he runs better. He's just a fluid athlete. Not saying Nolan's not. So what he's doing, it's been awesome to see. It would be a heck of a story because he's playing there now regularly, because Brendan Rodgers has put his foot down, if you will, at second base, and we know Fuentes has struggled with the bat. Wouldn't that be something if McMahon ends up a Gold Glove winner and ends the 8-year run of his former teammate, which is within the realm of possibility right now, because those metrics that you throw out there, and I don't love all those metrics, but there is a fairly strong respect for and adherence to those metrics by the voting body. It's not just who's the biggest name who plays third base, who's the biggest name who plays first base. Those days, you know, have gone away. And Nolan's still a brilliant defender. As I said, he's the best third baseman I've ever seen. But Ryan McMahon can pick it. Ryan McMahon can play second. The Rockies have a great history. One of the strengths of this club, they produced offensive players, position players, and they produced really good infield defenders, particularly second, short, and third. And listen, Big Cat was a great first baseman. I know he wasn't from the Rockies organization. Helton was a great first baseman. We've kind of had a revolving door at first base over the last few years. But the Rockies have played really good defense in their infield historically.
And with McMahon and the Rockies in general at third base with those 18 defensive runs saved, it's actually tied for most at any position with the Rangers right field. That's Joey Gallo. He's now on the Yankees. So, I mean, that could go a long way right now. You know, looking at the team rankings, Cardinals, one defensive run saved at third base. So there's somewhat of a gap. Is it enough? Because we know a lot of times with the voters of the Gold Glove Award, sometimes it can be somewhat of a superstar type award. And if someone has a stronghold on the award, it's hard for someone to kind of pull that away. So Ryan McMahon needs to get his jersey a little more dirtier. He needs to almost do the Jim Edmonds deal, right? Where he knows he can track that fly ball down, but let me just time it a little bit more slowly, full extension. I look good. And then I think they'll change some minds.
I think the other part of it has to be, do you have it in front of you? How many games has Ryan played now at third this year?
Oh yeah. I moved over to left field. Let me move back to third base. Cause yeah, that's the other thing is he's doing it and he has much fewer, they have it listed by innings instead of games here. Let me see.
Yeah.
McMahon's played 421.2 innings at third base. Joshua Fuentes 451, so just a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but so that for him to win a Gold Glove, he can't look at the same roster and go, "Yeah, one of your teammates has more reps at third base." So if Nolan, plays 145 games at third or 150 games at third, and one guy has better numbers, but he only played 103. I haven't looked that closely at it. I know where Ryan is. You mentioned Nolan's plus one. I don't know the other third baseman if there's any gap between or other players in there that are in the conversation.
Former Rocky Charlie Culberson with a 6 DRS for Texas. Interestingly enough, he's in fifth place. Austin Riley, Matt Chapman, who you would expect with 5 for Oakland, and he's got over 800 innings played. And then Nolan Arenado with 4 with over 800 innings played. So, yeah, Mac's going to have to catch up in terms of innings. And I did double check. Raimel Tapia, now with it updated, is tied with Randy Arozarena for number one at DRS amongst all left fielders. Now, Arozarena's done it in almost half the time, so Arozarena's been the much better defender. That said, playing innings is also valuable. So
yeah. Garrett Hampson's way up there in center field.
Yeah.
McMahon, 46 starts at third base, 41 starts at second base. So, you almost put aside the second base starts and go, you've started half the amount of games of Nolan Arenado. So that's going to be obviously a slight disadvantage. I'm not sure if it was Reggie Jackson or if it was Bret Hart who said, to be the man, you've got to beat the man. Actually, it was Ric Flair. I was wrong on both of them. But Ric Flair. And so you're right. If he's the incumbent champ, if Nolan's the incumbent champ, it's got to be clear. You clearly. So unless they change the award, we can give a Gold Glove out for a team effort, and that would still go to the Rockies once again. But if it's the player, we'll see what happens in these final 59, 60 games left in the season.
That would be – what a story that would be, wouldn't it, though? And like Goody said earlier, with Rodgers sort of taking over more at second, I think he's going to stack him up. He's not going to catch him, but he's going to make it compelling.
It'd be a nice story, but here's what I'm about, and I know here's what you're about, and certainly here's what the fans are about.
Lay it on us.
At the end of the day, I don't give a bleep about any of that. Yeah. I mean, it's great. Yeah. It makes for a nice – podcast conversation that we're enjoying today, but it's about wins and losses, man.
Wins and losses.
It's about wins and losses. And I do think you need to play strong defense to be a winning team, but clearly the other components have to be better.
Yeah.
You know,
it's that offense and bullpen stuff we were talking about earlier.
Right.
All right, goody. Plug the show for the week, and let's let the people out of here.
Ooh, yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one with Connor Joe. No spoilers, but yeah, fantastic.
Thanks, Patrick. And thanks for listening. I think you're always like the first listener, because I think it's like you when it drops Thursday morning, Patrick is always listened.
I'm up at 5:36 a.m. Yeah. No?
Oh. I haven't yet. I usually will get to it by late today or Friday, that sort of thing when I'm
your
running.
Your editor nailed it. Don't worry. He did a good job.
Let me tell you what, Marky's great. I mean, he's done a superb job helping me out. He's my right-hand guy. So, anyhow, it's Connor Joe. Great story that I think people have a familiarity to. But when you hear him talk about what he's been through, when you just hear him talk about, you know, his journey in life, his journey in baseball, he's a fascinating guy. He's a super bright guy. He's a super likable guy. And I really do think we had a special show this week, and I'm not a big self promoter, but I do think that you'll really enjoy that listen with him, and you'll be a big fan. There's no way, right, Patrick? You can't come away from listening to Connor Joe and not go, man, I root for that guy.
It may have been my favorite episode in the last couple months, just because, again, the conversation you have going into the cancer diagnosis, how he ended up choosing the Rockies, right? He's a free agent. And how do you decide to go to the Rockies versus any other team? And the anniversary of, being cancer free. And he even does address the Joe chance, right? You asked him about it. The Joe, everyone getting behind him, how he feels about it, what the other players have said to him. It's kind of timeless, to be honest. It's one of those where I think, you know, even in 5 years' time, you go, do you remember that moment in time? You know, Connor Joe, he had, played a couple years with the Rockies, whatever it was, but how that was a real big story at the time. I think this one is one of those evergreen episodes. It's really timeless. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the plug. And again, you come away a fan of Connor Joe. You come, I think we all were anyhow, guys like us, because we've seen him and a little bit, but you'll come away a big fan.
Well, this show is ending, so you should go and listen to that show immediately. You're on your podcast app. You can download it and listen to it the exact same way you're listening to this show right now. Drew Goodman Podcast. It's not hard to find. It's not hard to remember. It's very cleverly titled, I must say. Hey, look, sometimes you just make it easy on people. You find your way. Make sure you check out the Connor Joe episode. You do not want to miss that. Make sure you're following everybody on social media at Drew Kreisman, at Patrick D. Lyons, at Drew Goodman 42, and of course at DNVR_Rockies. Got to subscribe to the DNVR.com for all the written content, the access to the Discord, the discounts, the free shirt when you get the annual subscription, all the cool stuff that comes with becoming a member of the family. We appreciate you all for listening to this episode. Can only ask that you continue to be absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. We promise to continue being absolutely Patrick Lyons, Drew Goodman, and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.